And join in with us as we usher the presence of the Lord in this morning. We're going to slow it down a little bit. It's one of my favorite songs. It's just a blessing. It's a blessed assurance that God gives us that he'll be with you no matter what. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, oh yeah, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior, happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above.
Devotional scripture this morning is coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. And it reads, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be unto our God.
Amen. Good morning. Let us pray. Gracious Father, the God that's created all mankind, earth, hell, and nothing made on earth that he didn't make. We come now before holy and most wise God in the name of Jesus, just thanking you this morning, Father. Thank you for salvation. Most of all, thank you for your son Jesus that gave us a right to the tree of life.
Yes.
Father, we come now as a repentant sinner, just asking you to hear our prayers and we be humble as we know how. Yes. Father, we ask to be more obedient so we can hear from on high. For our words that we ask of you, that you give us what we need. But we have to be more obedient. Father, let's be more doers of your word. And Father God, we just thank you for all you did. And we ask for forgiveness of our sins where we come so short of your glory and mercy. Sins, omission and commission. Father, you're such a good God and long-suffering God. We keep sinning against you. You keep letting us see another day. Thank you, Father. Father, we just take for granted for all you gave us in the word, in your teachers, your preachers, and pastors that don't brought the word to us, that don't compromise the gospel. Father, we don't take for granted that's even waking up this morning with air and breathe and with having our mind on you. Father, we thank you for saving us to give us the mind to accept your glorious gift. Father, we ask for be a light unto the world, Father, because we know you're on your way back. We don't know when, but Father, we don't believe it's much longer.
Yeah.
Let us be prepared. Let us help you prepare the word by being a light. Let us be doers of the word, not just talkers of the word. Father, strengthen us spiritually, mentally, and physically. And Father God, we just thank you for all you've done, even the good times, or what we say so-called dark times. Father God, we know it's a learning experience for us. For us to know more about ourselves, Father. You know everything about us. But we don't even know about our own selves. And Father, you show us the way through adversities, ups and downs, peaks and valleys. Father, just let us be for real Christians. There's enough phonyism going on, Father. But let us be for real and do your work, Father. Father God, we pray for the New Bethlehem family that we be the church that you wanted to be. And not only that, Father, we pray for every church door that open up, don't compromise your word. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this rainy day. We thank you for the sunny days. We thank you for our health and strength. We thank you for even the sickness, Father. We thank you for even things ain't going right, Father. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for our pastor emeritus. Father, we thank you for all you've done. We can't thank you enough. Father, I get on to thanking you for what you've done. I just can't stop. But most of all, Father, we thank you for saving us. Thank you for us again, a man to come here and learn more about you and be better Christians, Father. Father, we pray for the world at large that your word go forward, that souls be saved everywhere, backsliders be reclaimed. Father, we pray that you touch the leaders in this country, the men and women, that your will be done through them. We pray that your word go all around the world, folks in Israel, folks in the other war-torn country, Father. We pray that you be with these people, strengthen them. And most of all, Father, whatever going on, let the word go forward so somebody be saved. Because of what's going on physically, the soul can be saved. Father, we just pray to church. We pray for the Jews to accept Jesus Christ, Father. We pray for them. We pray for our little ones, Father, they're going through so much in peer pressure, trying to satisfy the world instead of satisfying you, Father. Father, let them open their hearts and minds where they can listen to their elders, Father, thus says the Lord, and where we lead them on the right path. Father, don't let us teach them wrong. Let us teach them right. Father, don't let them teach what I want to know. Let me teach what you want them to know. Father God, we just want to thank you. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for this deacon boy. Thank you for the trustee. And thank you for all these memberships came out. And we pray right now you open the hearts where we can receive the word today, whatever you want to say to us. And when we leave here, we can be better Christians. These blessings are asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I know this week we all have been through some things. Trials and tribulations, but we're here now, so let's praise the Lord right now together. If you would, help me praise the Lord. I love to praise Him.
I love to praise his name. I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. Let me say that I love to praise his holy name. I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. Let me say that. Hallelujah, I love to praise the name. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise the name. Oh, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise the name. And let me say that.
I love to praise. His holy name. We serve a holy God. We serve a good God. We serve a merciful God. And he's worthy of all of our praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On behalf of our pastor, Dr. T. Jefferson Rogers, Jr. and Lady Rogers and their family, Pastor Emeritus Walker, Sister Walker, and their family, our officers, all these preachers on the roster, all of our members, and to all of you, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, our sermon scripture will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Verses 1 through 11. The book of Acts, chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11. If you found it, say amen. Amen. Acts 5. Verses 1 through 11. Let us read. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept that part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias hath an heart, and to keep back part of the price of the land while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, that it may edify all of our souls. Now, our church mission statement. Let us read. The New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church mission is to know all about Jesus Christ and understand fully what he accomplished for us on the cross. We also desire to make these things known in the Bessemer area and the world. We are a mission-minded, soul-winning church for Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it's time for our announcement.
Pastor Rogers, Pastor Emeritus Walker, all of the ministers of the gospel, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. Good morning. A thank you card was received from Sister Janice Pitts, along with the Green and the Adams families. Reminder, the Christmas Fellowship is this Friday, December 1st, at 6:30 p.m. in the Family Life Center. Sign-up sheets are on the tables in the vestibule. You may also register on REM. Today is the deadline to register. Today is also the deadline to register on REM if you're planning to attend the 58th anniversary celebration for Reverend Dr. John A. Boyd in Columbus, Mississippi on December 17th. Pastor Rogers will be delivering the message on Sunday, December 10th, at 2:30 p.m. at 2nd Avenue Beulah Missionary Baptist Church in Bessemer. This is for the first pastoral anniversary celebration for Pastor Eugene Warren. The youth department's sneaker ball will be Friday, December 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. They will be signing up all interested youth after church today in the breezeway. They will also be giving out Christmas speeches today and at Tuesday night Bible study. If you have any questions, please contact a youth department head or Sister Cynthia Boone. Reminder for our department heads, please retrieve your financial policies and procedures manual from the church office. Note, only you will be able to sign for them. Also, the deadline for your ministry's calendar of events is Thursday, November 30th. And you may place it in the door of the secretary's office. On our hospital list today, we have Brother Thomas Glover and Sister Mary Quixie. On the prayer list, we have Reverend Edward May, Brother Lucius Thomas, Sister Mary Fleming, Sister Sabrina Giles, Brother Rufus Taylor, Sister Frances Gray, Sister Deborah Stewart, Sister Omega Hasbury, Sister Bertha Williams, Brother Tony Mitchell, Sister Annie Irby, Sister Carolyn Fisher, Sister Katrina Thurman, Sister Ella Hatcher, Sister Carrie Powell, Brother Robert Ollie, Sister Bertha McLean, Sister Mertis Cook, Brother Wilbert Hoskin, Sister Deborah Tarrant, Brother Leonard Tarrant, Sister Classy Evans, Sister Diane Hayes, Sister Carlene Williams, Brother Adam Smith, Brother David Bell, Sister Mary Williams, Sister Gwenada Smith, Sister Bobby Green, Brother Willie Kelly, Sister Brenda Gooden, Sister Edna Ingram, Brother John Atkins Jr., Brother Alonzo Lewis, Brother Dwayne Smith, Sister Jacqueline Payne, Brother Robert Dowdley, Sister Louise Blackman, Sister Louise Broom, Brother Tommy Bland, Sister Denisha Carswell, Brother Cleophas Bowie, Brother Willie Hogan, Sister Liebel Johnson, Sister Sonoya Thomas, Sister Booby Banks, Sister Kay Percy, Sister Brenda Robinson, and Brother Douglas Ward Jr. Congratulations to Brother William and Sister Yolanda Witt, who are celebrating 42 years of marriage. Amen. We will have an announcement now from a representative from the youth department, after which we will be in the hands of the welcome ministry. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning to Pastor Rogers, other ministers of the gospel, to my New Bethlehem family and visiting friends. Didn't know I was supposed to be up here. I'm standing here on behalf of the sneaker ball, for our children. It's December the 15th at 6 o'clock. Parents, you can come, drop off your kids, and go shopping or whatever for two hours. 2 hours. From 6 to 8. Let your children wear their sneakers and dress up a little bit. They'll have lots and lots of fun. And I need everyone from the youth department to meet me right after church, right in the back there where I sit by the camera. Thank y'all very much. Be blessed.
Good morning. On behalf of Pastor Rogers, Emeritus Pastor Walker, we would like to take this time out of service to welcome our visitors. Do we have any visitors? If you so, would you please stand? I know we have some because I greeted you when you walked in the door, so maybe a little shy. We do have one, two, okay. Well, on behalf of our Pastor Rogers and Emeritus Walker and the other ministers of the gospel, officers, members, and friends, we welcome you to New Bethlehem Baptist Church. We hope you get something out of the service today, and please feel free to come back and visit us at any time. Thank you. New Bethlehem, let us show them how much we welcome them.
At this time, it's time for our altar prayer. And we're going to ask that everyone stand and prepare your hearts for prayer as our choir musicians bring us our altar call song. After that, we're going to ask Pastor Pippin to come with our prayer.
Church where I pastor at, one of the things I like to do before we pray is we like to reach out to one another, hold hands, to be in unity and in love. I always believe that when we come before God, we need to be in unity and in love one with another. So reach out and grab somebody's hand, because we're coming before the throne of grace in unity and in love. Another thing I always like to do is, not only do I preach and teach, but I always pray God's word. And on this Thursday, we celebrated Thanksgiving, and when I look at Psalms 107, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." So we've spent time thanking the Lord for all that he's done. But then if you go down further in verse 6, it said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." So I'm going to pray in the spirit of God's word. We're going to cry out to the Lord. Not only am I going to cry out to the Lord, but I want all of us to cry out unto the Lord. So let us look to the Lord, and we're going to cry out to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come crying out to you on this day. You created the heavens and the earth. You woke us up this morning. This is the day you've made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because you woke us up this morning, you did not allow us to sleep to our death. And for that, we say thank you. And so, Lord God, we come crying unto you, Lord God, because there are many things going on. We have nowhere else to turn. We have no one else to lean on. So our text tells us that when your people were in trouble and when they were in distress, they cried unto you. So, Lord God, we cry unto you to this day. Lord, I pray that your spirit will move down each and all of this place. Look upon the hearts and the mind of every person that's gathered here on today, Lord God. Sometimes people got things going on inside of them, and they may not say it to no one else. But sometimes, Lord God, people keep it in their hearts, in their mind. Hannah cried unto you silently, Lord God. And if Hannah's crying out to you silently, Lord, we come crying out to you silently. Lord, we recognize that you are a God who is sovereign. You are a caring God. You are a compassionate God. You are a restoring God. You are a reconciling God. You are a loving God. You are a gracious God. You are a merciful God. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So, Lord God, if anyone in the midst of us, Lord God, if they are struggling at home just to put food on the table, we cry out unto you, Lord God. If anyone's heart is in distress and is sad, Lord God, we cry out unto you, Lord God. If someone needs a job, Lord God, we cry out unto you, Lord God. If someone has had death in the family, Lord God, we cry out unto you, Lord God. If someone does not know you and pardon in their sins, we cry out unto you, Lord God. And Lord God, when your people cry out unto you, Lord God, hear their cries, pity their groans. We know you are God that do that. Because the people of Israel cried out and you said you heard their moanings and their groanings and you sent the deliverer. So, Lord God, we don't take it for granted you granted us the privilege to cry out unto you, Lord God. There's nothing wrong with crying as long as we cry out unto you, Lord God. I pray that you bless this congregation, bless this church, Lord God. As we leave from this place, let us go out and let the world know you don't have to turn to drugs. You don't have to turn to alcohol. Come to this place and cry out unto the Lord. This altar is big enough for all of you. That's what I pray for this congregation. I pray for the leaders, Lord God, starting with Pastor Rogers. Lord, bless him and strengthen him and keep him. He's going to bring forth a mighty word onto this day, Lord, for all of us. Strengthen him, Lord. Strengthen his heart. Strengthen his mind. Bless his family. Bless the word that he's going to preach that you gave him, Lord God. Stand up in him, Lord God. Let your spirit flow through him in a mighty and great, powerful way. But, Lord God, he's just not standing here to entertain. But Lord God, the word that he's preaching and he's teaching, it gives life. So Lord, I pray that your word, as it goes forward, move up and down this aisle, move across from altar to altar, from pew to pew, touch everyone, so that Lord God, they will cry out unto you, that they will know you are loving God, that they know you are caring God. I pray for the ministers that's on this pulpit, Lord God, as they serve in the various capacities at this church. let them help the people of God to come back to you, Lord God. Return back to you, Lord God. Obey you, Lord God. Study your word, Lord God. They are to help lift the burden off Pastor Rogers, because he can't do it alone. I pray for the deacons. Lord God, let them be great armor bearers. Let them guard the truth with power. Let them serve your people by the instruction and direction of the pastor. We do not want to be a sheep that's scattered. So Lord God, bless the deacons to help pastor keep the sheep together. That's why we're holding hands, to be in the spirit of unity and love. We don't want to be a people that's scattered. We don't want to be a people that's divided. So I pray for a spirit of love and the unity, Lord, to always dwell among this church, Lord God. If someone's sitting here, Lord God, they just come to church just to come to church. No, we don't come to church just to come to church. But if someone sits in here and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins, we're getting ready to enter into a season where we celebrate Christ. This season is for them. This time is for them. Tomorrow is not promised. I pray, Lord, if someone is sitting here and they do not know you in the pardon of their sins, my prayer, Lord God, that at the time of invitation, that they would come running to this altar, crying out unto you, Lord God. But they don't even have to wait to the invitation. They can come anytime during this service. Jesus came that we may have eternal life. So I pray, Lord God, even as I pray for those who may be sitting here who do not know Christ as the pardon of their sins, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ, because he's going to prepare a place for us, for you. And he's going to return again, that where he is, we may be with him also. His return is imminent. So, Lord God, we pray for those who are sitting here. We pray for your spirit to move in a mighty way upon their hearts. We thank you for this opportunity to pray. We most of all thank you for hearing us. And we believe in by faith that if we pray according to your word and your spirit, you will hear us, because you honor your word. And your word cannot return back to you void. So bless the people of New Bethlehem Baptist Church, Lord God. From the pulpit to the children's church, leave no one unblessed. Let everyone hear a word from you today. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do. We lift these prayers up to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said amen, 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 and amen. Come on, everybody, put your hands together. Can I get a witness in a minute? The Lord bring you a mighty long way. We have a thankful heart. Let's say that again. I've been kept. Say. He was the one brought us a mighty long way.
A mighty long way.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Lucas. Somebody say he brought us. Tragedies are commonplace. All kind of diseases. People are slipping away. Muggers and robbers. No place seems to be safe. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Diseases, people are slipping away. The economy's down, people can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drug habits, some say they just can't beat. Muggers and robbers, no place seems to be safe. But you've been my protection every step of the way. I gotta say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Yeah, it could have been me.
if you have a thankful heart, you ought to say something. He didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. I have a reason to be thankful, and you do too, for every mountain, for every valley. Couldn't nobody see me through but him. He's the one that I'm thankful to. And I look in the audience, I see some of us ain't moved yet.
Thank you, Lord God.
He done brought us through COVID-19. And you still won't move. We have a reason to be thankful today. We have a reason to be thankful today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I've got so much.
Yes, Lord.
To
Come on, bless his name. Come on, don't patty cake him. Come on, bless his name. He brought you through mountains. He brought you through valleys. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of praise. Some of us know we didn't make it on our own. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, no telling where we'll be. Come on, lift your hands all over the house and bless his name. Give him away praise. Give him glory. Give him glory. Come on, give him away praise. Glory to his name. When I was a boy, grew up in the country, and on a day like today, where there was forecasting of cold weather, you had to get the wood in and stack it on the porch so it would be dry. And if you didn't, you suffered from a cold house because wet wood won't burn. With all of this fire you hadn't caught on yet, it may be because you're wet wood. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm not wet wood. Come on, bless his name, bless his name. Glory to God. I'm not wet wood. wet wood won't burn. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. 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 Give glory to God. Give him all the praises. Give glory to God. Come on, let me hear you. Give him all the praises. Give glory to God. Give him all the praises. Give glory to God. Give him all the praises. Give glory to God. Come on, let me hear you say, give glory to God. Hallelujah. Give glory to God. Come on, let me hear you. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. The word of the Lord for the people of God, the word is blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, the sovereign presence of the Holy Spirit. Look at another neighbor and say, the sovereign presence of the Holy Spirit. Come on, shout up here at me, the sovereign presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The sovereign presence of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5 is a continuation of Acts chapter 4. That at the close of Acts chapter 4, the Holy Spirit filled the apostles and the people. The feeling of the Holy Spirit is not a second rebirth. It is an emptying of self, relying on the abiding presence of Christ and resting on his all-sufficient strength, substance, and security. It is to be controlled by the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and after being filled, amazing things happened to them and through them. That the apostles and the people became unified, courageous to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, considerate and benevolent toward one another. For the Bible says, those who possess property and possess things sold them, and they brought their proceeds and laid their proceeds at the apostles' feet. The people placed their profit at the apostles' feet to support the needy. In other words, they removed it from their hands and put it in the hands of the apostles because they wanted fair distribution. Sometimes we give, but we give with a steering wheel. We want to point out where we want our gifts to go. But not this group of people. What they did was they sold their possessions, they sold their property, and they brought the proceeds, the profit, and they laid it at the apostles' feet to support the needy. In other words, the believers were spirit-led to demonstrate togetherness to support the needy. Brothers and sisters, it is imperative for us to be together, that God can work mightily through a people who works together. Matter of fact, the prayer of Jesus in the high priestly prayer he prayed in John chapter 17 was for the people who would be called by his name to be together. There's power in unity. There's power in togetherness. Help me preach this. Look at somebody and tell them, let's get together. There's power in togetherness. God can work through a people who are together. That his Spirit leads to Unity, it produces unity. It causes unity. And I think I've told you before that unity is not something that we can make happen. It's something that we receive from the Holy Spirit. But it's something that we have to maintain. He gives us unity. He brings us together. And we have to maintain unity and togetherness, that they were spirit-led to demonstrate togetherness to support the needy. In chapter 4, Barnabas was singled out as a spirit-led giver. Barnabas did not cling to the assets he had. He was willing to let them go because he saw needs that had to be met within the congregation. So Barnabas provided the spiritual connection of, or he perceived the spiritual connection of faith family as closer than the connection of biological family. Listen to me, some people, they only give to people who share the same last name. They don't have a problem giving to children, giving to parents, giving to aunts, uncles, and nieces and nephews, but giving to people with a different last name or people who do not share the same last name is difficult. Barnabas, he gave without concern to who his gift was going to. He freely gave. He gave without a steering wheel. He didn't count his own possession as his own, that he knew whatever he had, God gave it to him. He gave. He was a spirit-led giver. The Bible says that he gave without creating debt for the people he gave to. In other words, he did not loan the money. He gave the money to the needy. He gave in this way because he understood God's gift of his son was given to him without creating a debt. That God's gift of his son did not create debt. His son came as a gift to deliver us from sin debt. We had a debt we couldn't owe. We had a debt we owed, but we couldn't pay. Jesus had a debt that he did not owe, but he paid. So the debt of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. Listen, we all be able to shout because we are not in sin debt anymore. That he has paid for our sins, sins of the past, sins of the present, and sins of the future. He has paid the price for all of our sins. He had a debt he didn't owe, but he could pay, and he did pay. We had a debt we owed, but couldn't pay. Barnabas looked at God's gift to him and blessings to him, and he did not take ownership. He only managed. This is stewardship 101. That the truth is, we own nothing. We own nothing. We own nothing. I if you think you own it, mess around and die. If you think it's going with you, I can assure you that a U-Haul won't be behind your hearse. You don't own, you are only managing. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we were born naked and we will leave naked. We came with nothing and we will leave with nothing. Listen, he understood that he was a manager, so he freely gave. Acts chapter 4, he's singled out. And he's praised. And when we reach Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 singles out two by the names of Ananias and Sapphira. And some way they became members of the church. And Ananias and Sapphira were husband and wives. And nothing good is said about them. They are known throughout history from the biblical text for their sin. Let me pause to ask the question. When you gone, what would you be known for? Will any good be said about you? Will there be anyone to witness and share a word concerning you and how sensitive and considerate, caring, compassionate you were about someone else? Will you be known for any good? Because it's obvious from the text and evident from the text that you can live your life, all of your life, and nothing be good recorded about you. There's nothing good said. Nothing but they sold their possession, their property, brought in part of the proceeds, and laid it at the apostles' feet, pretending to have laid the full amount at the apostles' feet. Now, something about Ananias and Sapphira parallels them to that of Pharisaism. That they were giving to be seen. They sold the property, brought in part of the proceeds, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, watch the text, because the first thing you see is the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. In verses 3, verses 8 and 9, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And then verse 8, Peter said, "To her," because he deals with them at two different times. Matter of fact, it's about 3 hours in between. Peter's dealing with Ananias and Peter dealing with Sapphira. And so 3 hours later in verse 8, Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira sinned together. Now, it's good to see husband and wives together doing good. It's good to see husband and wife working together doing good, but agreeing to disobey the Spirit of God together is never good. Listen, you don't need somebody who's going to draw you against the Spirit of God. You need somebody that's considered your helpmate to help you do the things of God and to encourage you in doing the things of God. You don't need somebody who's going to make you a worse version of who you are. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You need somebody who's going to bring out the God character in you. You don't need nobody to tell you that you go to church too much and you give too much and you sing too much. And every time the doors of the church open, you at the church. No, you need somebody to tell you, I thank God that you are dedicated to the Lord, because the more you are dedicated to the Lord, the better you're going to be to me. Come on, somebody ought to help me preach. You need somebody who's going to bring out the godly character in you. But they sinned together. Woo. Discussed it. Talked about it together. In private, and carried it out in public. Boy, if I had time, I would talk about how dangerous pillow talk can be. How you can conjure up some stuff laying in the bed or sitting across the table from one another that you know is not right. They were together and they sinned together. Now, what was their sin? Their sin was lying to the Holy Spirit. They lied. The word lied is pseudemai, which means to lie, to speak deliberate falsehood, to act falsely. In other words, Ananias and Sapphira tried to deceive the Holy Spirit. So, the sin was not in keeping part of the money received from selling their estate. The sin was in pretending that the part they laid at the apostles' feet was the whole. Verse 4 says, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So they wanted recognition and acclaim from falsity. Let me say that again. They wanted recognition and acclaim from falsity. They were imposters and pretenders and deceivers. Paul Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, evil people and imposters will come or will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, Ananias and Sapphira were deceived in thinking they could deceive the Holy Spirit. Deceiving people are deceived. They thought they could deceive the Holy Spirit. Let me pause to say, you can deceive man sometimes, but you cannot deceive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is God. He's all-knowing. The Holy Spirit had to appeal to Ananias and Sapphira to lead them in doing right, but they ignored the Holy Spirit and was led of Satan. One writer says when a person rejects the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he disconnects from the source of conviction. One cannot do what's right and true apart from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That if you are not guided by the Holy Spirit, you are inevitably being guided by an evil spirit. Sin was pretending, hypocrisy. They came in just like Barnabas did, bringing their prophet, a portion of the prophet, and they laid it at the apostles' feet and went out as if they had laid the full amount. Boy, if I had time, I would talk about how we too come in with smiles on our faces, go to the box, and we put in the box like we have put all in, smiling, robbing God, impressing man, but disappointing God. I knew I wasn't going to get many amens. They pretended their sin was sin of hypocrisy. But what's the sovereign presence of the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is a divine person. Because verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, Peter didn't know what he put in. So it's obvious that the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter, because Peter is the leader or the pastor of the church. He speaks to Peter concerning Ananias and Sapphira. Now, Peter don't know what he put in or what they put in, but by way of the Holy Spirit, it's revealed to him. The Holy Spirit is a sovereign person of the one Godhead. that the Godhead consists of one divine being in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead because he proceeds from the Father through the Son. Jesus promised that he had to go, and in his going, he would send back the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be to the people of God, understanding and knowledge and wisdom. Be the Spirit of truth. He leads believers in truth. In the Word of God. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He said in John 15, 26, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit appealed to Ananias and Sapphira, but they ignored the Spirit of God. And they were influenced, guided by the spirit of error. The Holy Ghost is not the spirit of error. He's the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of truth. So he wanted to lead them in truth, but they were so caught up in self that they ignored the spirit of truth and heeded the spirit of error. Because Peter asks, why have you allowed Satan to fill your hearts and control you with the spirit of error? Why have you lied to the Spirit? Now, I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is the sovereign presence of God in us and with us. That the Holy Spirit is sovereign, which means he controls but can't be controlled. Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus under the cloak of darkness, and Nicodemus asked about the miracles, and Jesus didn't even entertain the miracles. But then Jesus began to talk about the wind. That the Holy Spirit is like the wind, that the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. That man is not in control of the Spirit, because man is not in control of wind. So that man being not in control of the Spirit, that the Spirit is in control of man. But many believers think they can control the Spirit. Many believe they can talk like and pray like they control the Spirit of God, as if they can order the Spirit of God to do what they want the Spirit of God to do. Many things they can make the Spirit of God empower them for their own purposes and pledges. Many things they can make the Holy Spirit work according to their rules and patterns. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not controlled by you. He controls you. You can't control God. You can't control Christ. Nor can you control the Holy Spirit. You have to watch how you talk. You're not in charge. You know, sometimes when people pray, they say, well, God stopped by the hospital. As if you can send them somewhere. Praying like you in charge. Come by here if you don't stay long. As if you can send him or invite him into his own house. Lord, go by and see my children and go by the jails to see those who are in prison. God says, guess what? Because my Spirit is in you, when you go, I go. You trying to control me, and I'm trying to control you. You don't control God. God controls you. He's sovereign. And when you understand the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit, you stop trying to order, control, and guide. But you become guided, controlled, and ordered by the Holy Spirit. They didn't see him as sovereign. And so they sinned against him. Now, watch, and I'm done, the seriousness of their sin. There's a problem with their acts. But the real issue is that Ananias and Sapphira did not take the Holy Spirit seriously. Let me tell you, you don't want to play with the Holy Spirit. You don't want to speak against the Holy Spirit. You don't want to act against the Holy Spirit. You want to respect the Holy Spirit. They didn't take him seriously. So the devil tempted them to push against the boundaries of God's will. Tempted them to push against the boundaries of God's will. You who are parents can identify. We have a little Trinity. And she's always pushing against the boundaries. Of our parental responsibilities. In other words, she want to see how far she can go. How much she can get away with before she endures parental wrath. And seemingly she didn't get the lesson from the day before. Did the same thing a different day. Y'all know how children are. Always pushing against the boundaries. Pushing. Because they want to see how much they can get away with. And that was the case of Ananias and Sapphira. They were pushing against the boundaries of God's will. The devil had persuaded them that they can, or they could receive power, prominence, acclaim. So they pushed against the boundaries. You had to watch the devil. Because the devil tried to persuade Jesus to push against the boundaries of God's will. In exchange for worldly glory. Jesus, if you bow, if you worship me, I give you all of this. You can have it. Without any pain, you can have it. Forget about the cross, man. Just bow. And I give you the glory of the world. Jesus knew the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. It wasn't Satan to give, but he'll persuade you. He tempts you to test the boundaries of God. That's why Jesus told his disciples that they are not to put the Lord God to test. That's why he even told Satan, don't test the Lord. You're blessed to live within the boundaries of God's will. Help me preach, look at somebody and tell them you're blessed by living in the boundaries of God's will. See, when you start pushing, God has to start chastening. You start pushing. God has to start warning you. You start pushing, keep pushing. God has to say to you, all right, if you don't stop, you're going to force me to take you home. I can remember as a boy going to the grocery store with mama. Couldn't cry back then for anything in the store because, you know, they believed in getting you where you act up at. And they would give you that speech. If you go in there and you cut the clown, I got something for you. And I'm going to get you where you act up at. Go in the store, see something you want. Whip under your voice a little bit, but mama had magnifying hearing. She said, all right, if you don't shut that noise, you're going to make me get you. Push on down the aisle a little bit. See something else you want, you reach out there. And whimper a little bit more. Mama said, you testing me now. You're trying my patience. You're going to make me get you. Go on down another aisle.